All right. A few months ago, we went on the show. We talked a big game. We're going to make PDFs. We're going to grow the podcast, all this stuff. Today, we're going to find out if we're full of shit or not. So we did an episode on PDF dropshipping. If you haven't listened to that, I believe that was like our third-ish episode. Awesome episode, in my opinion. We got a lot of good feedback on that. The idea was simple. Create a simple digital product, sell it for, you know, $17, $27, somewhere around their dollars, and see what happens. John, you picked the dad niche, parenting stuff, how to be present, calm, disciplined, navigating screens with your kids. I picked Bitcoin for normies, right? Helping regular people understand crypto without the jargon, get their coins off of exchanges, things like that. We both committed to actually making the PDFs, not just talking about it. All right, where are we? What actually happened? This was a while ago now. What actually happened?
Life happened. I wouldn't say life for me, but business happened, maybe. I made the PDF. I made the first PDF, as we talked about on that show, actually. I stuck to that plan, and on that last show, I'd stepped out, actually, I think, a series of little products that could kind of work together. You know, I think I had six ideas there. So I made the first one and it's been sitting there ever since. So the PDF information product is ready to go and nothing else has happened.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, right? Maybe for different reasons. So I created, I actually didn't think it was that hard. It was honestly kind of fun sparring with Claude is what I used to create this. So just like, here's everything I want to put in there, brain dumped everything via speech to text, and then started sparring with it. Nope, change this. Nope, change that. Actually, no, I wouldn't say it this way. No, those aren't the words I would use. Just a lot of stuff, right? A lot of back and forth, but it was fun. I actually enjoyed making the product, and then I stopped, right? And so, I don't know, maybe this is a little embarrassing to say, but we've been in the game a long time, John, and you want to do some e-commerce SEO, I'll be a stud for you. Even e-commerce ads, I'll be a stud for you, specifically on Google. When it comes to Facebook, I feel so dumb. I've ran Facebook ads, I've made them work, but never at like a scaled level. And so the idea of this one was like, okay, first off, do I need my own page? Do I need to create like, Bitcoin for Boomers or something like that, right? Which I think there is a podcast called that. But let's just say Bitcoin for Boomers, that's my page. I'm specifically talking to Boomers. This is who I want to target. And then I run ads from that page. Do I run them as me? Do I put myself out there and become someone who's speaking on Bitcoin, which I wouldn't be opposed to. I do feel a little imposter syndrome around that. I don't know why, but I feel a little bit, even though I'm incredibly knowledgeable on the topic. Or do I do it somewhere completely different, right? Gary Vee says to create a stand store. I think Mike Dillard, I bought Mike Dillard's course around this. He wants you to create a stand store as well. I think it's called Your First 500. Shout out to him. It's a great course. But I didn't know what to, like, stand did not seem it for me. That's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to post on social media all day long. That's not what I want to do either. I want to run ads, right? And so the point of that was to have Kat come on the show, help us with that. At this point, it's not out there as we're recording this yet, but we recorded it. And we spent way more time talking about her being a witch and all sorts of crazy stuff than we did about actually discussing this thing. And so I still think I'm a little confused, if I'm honest with you. I don't know how to sell this thing. So I have it. It's beautiful. This show that we're recording doesn't come out for like another month, I don't think. I'm going to go put it in our low bar community, likely in the next couple days. So anybody can have it. I want people to brainstorm with me. How would you sell this? What do you think of it? Can you use this yourself and actually, you know, move some Bitcoin around and see what you think? So I'm going to put it in our low bar community. If you want to come check that out, lowbar.com. There's a join button there. It's $9 a month. Come hang out with us. I'm going to put it in there, John. Maybe you can put yours in there too. But other than that, I don't know what to do. And so I don't know whether you want to, like, first off, have some accountability here of why we both suck, which I think would be good. But also, like, what now? What do we do now?
Yeah. So I think my roadblock's not how to do it. I know how to do all that stuff that you just mentioned. So I can answer some of those questions for you. But I totally get it. I'm the same as you. I'm 12 years now in e-commerce. I've mastered that game, I think, in a lot of ways. And so that doesn't mean you've mastered anything else in the business space, right? You can go into something completely different and be like, holy crap, what do I do now? I kind of feel like I'm starting back at scratch. But I have spent a bit of time selling information products, obviously, for Dropship Breakthrough and running the ads there and that sort of thing. So I've got some ideas there. No, for me, it's been more about time, if I'm honest. Like, time goes so quickly. I can't even believe that it's been however many months it was since we recorded that first podcast episode, for sure. And it's kind of like every time I think about it, and I've thought about like sitting down and doing the work, and there's a bunch of little things to do here, right? To get this up and running and running automatically and all of that sort of thing. And every time it's just like, I could do that. We're part of four other businesses. plus our course and coaching business. We've got this podcast as well, which, you know, we're recording every week here and spending time prepping that and all of that sort of thing also. And it's kind of like, this is another thing. So for me, it's been one of those reminding lessons that you can only do so much. Like, so every time I go to do this, I'm like, or I could pull one of these levers over here that I know is definitely going to generate money or has a really high probability of generating outcomes in one of our other businesses, whether it's one of the e-commerce businesses or whether it's our course and coaching business, or I could go and spend a bunch of time trying to work out this thing I kind of know how to do, but I've never actually done, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I always put this on the back burner, if you like, and I just continually put it on the back burner. So, I mean, that's my accountability, is that I have always been guilty in my entrepreneurial journey, if you like, of taking on too much stuff and not focusing in on, at times, not focusing in on things I should focus in on. So, I mean, that's kind of been my roadblock, if you like. It's not even really a roadblock. It's just a prioritization thing. And this has not been that, which I'm happy to be accountable for. But to answer your questions, if you want, I mean, it's pretty simple. Yes, you need a Facebook page. You could use your own Facebook page. You have a Ben Kniggendorf Facebook page, so you could run your ads as Ben Kniggendorf. And you're Ben Kniggendorf, you're promoting something to do with Bitcoin, which is something you know a lot about, right? Or you could start up another page and give it some name, or you could even call it Ben Kniggendorf the Bitcoin Guy, or whatever True. You want to call it, right? If you wanted to keep those separate for some reason, that's really a personal choice which way you go. You could do either. It doesn't matter. Right. I kind of think if people see ads about something that someone knows and it comes from a, like something with a that looks like a person, I think that's probably a little bit stronger, if I'm honest, from a credibility, trust, conversion perspective. But you could do either. Then you're going to need an ad account associated with that page, or an ad account, a Facebook ad account you can use. Once again, I mean, you could do it through an existing ad account that's from another business as well. As long as that page is connected to that ad account in Facebook Business Manager, you know, you don't necessarily have to set up a new ad account just for this. If you already have one that's up and running, you just have to connect the two. And then you just need somewhere to host your checkout, right? So you need like just a landing page tool or a funnel tool. So pick one, ClickFunnels, go high level. You could do it on WordPress. You could do it on, I'm sure you could do it on Stan, as you mentioned, Stan Store. Like, you basically just need a landing page where you can talk about your product, right? And like, why should people buy it? Provide the sales letter, the whatever your format is. Maybe you're going to have a video on there where you do the sales pitch or whatever you're going to do. And here's what you're going to get, and here's what you're going to learn, and this is what it's doing, this is what it's done for me, all this sort of stuff. Tell a bit of your story. There's a button, buy now, takes them to a checkout page connected to a Stripe account. That's it. That's what you need. So there are 57 tools on the market right now that can do exactly what I've just said. You just have to pick one. I don't think it really matters. Samcart, like, I mean, there's so many you could use, right? It does literally doesn't matter. You could do it on Shopify if you wanted to, you know, although that's probably not the best idea in this particular use case, but you could. That's all you need.
Your delivery mechanism is just the email afterwards, or how are you delivering?
Well, you have to host, you would have to host the file somewhere. So you could deliver it to them it could be in your Google Drive, right? And you send an email after they purchase with the link to the Google Drive, or you put the link to the Google Drive on the thank you page, you know, because after they check out, they're going to go to a thank you page in whatever tool you're using to deliver that, the sales page and the checkout. You could have the link there so they can instantly access it. And you send them an email with a link to the same thing just to make sure they get it both ways. You could host it in other places as well, of course, but if it's just a PDF download, you don't need like a course platform or anything like that to sell this. You just need to send them to a link. It could be Dropbox. It could be whatever, right? So that bit's super simple. Just a link, make it read-only or whatever you want to do, or just give them a PDF. They download the PDF. Like, that's super simple.
All right, familiar with and have used ClickFunnels, hate it. Familiar with and have used WordPress, really fucking hate it. Not a WordPress guy. Let's go high level.
It's just like another kind of, I mean, that's probably more complex. It's like a all-in-one CRM sales funnel, you know, bits and pieces. That's probably a little bit further ahead than what you need. But just go and look for, you know, like funnel tools or landing page tools. Like there's tons out there. And once again, like whether you like it or not, this is going to be a really simple application. It's a single page. You got to build one web page. That's it.
Well, eventually you're going to need more, right? Like if it's one page, you could use Card. I've used Card before. Certainly one page site, perfect for that. But you're going to need, you know, a couple different sales pages eventually. Hopefully you're marketing to each other. You are going to want to, put a pixel on there. Your checkout, you know, maybe you don't want them to leave one software and move to another software to check out, right? Maybe you want them to check out right on that page.
And that's why you could use a tool like ClickFunnels. Whether you like it or not, it does do all of those things. But like I say, there are others. Like I said, Samcart, you could do it on Samcart. There's a ton out there. You just have to pick one. I mean, if I'm honest, I've tried all of them over the years, almost. They all have bits that suck. Like if I'm honest, Shopify has bits that suck. We love Shopify. It still has bits that suck about it.
It's the devil you know, though, you know?
Yeah, well, it's the devil we know. But, I mean, they all kind of work the same. And yes, different ones have different bits and pieces that are better than others and all of that sort of thing. But like, at the end of the day, that's not going to be the reason people do or don't buy your PDF.
I just want simplicity, right? WordPress, not simple. Like, there's too much going on back there.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend WordPress unless you have a history of using WordPress and, you know, you build a bunch of sites on it and you know the bits and pieces that need to come together there. I'm just saying, you could do it on WordPress. Like, there are many options of where you could host this. And so, I mean, you just look at a few, see which one works the best for you and go and do it. Hey, it's John here. I just wanted to let you know that the Low Bar Pod membership is now live. So if you've been loving the show and you'd love to hang out directly with myself and Ben and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals to do more fun business stuff, head to lowbarpod.com/join. It's just $9 a month. It's cancel at any time. We can't wait to see you inside.
All right, so to recap, I need a Facebook page, whether that's me and I want to represent me or whether I want to have some sort of brand, right? Bitcoin for Boomers or something like that. I simply need a Facebook page from which to run the ads, right? I probably want to set up an Instagram account too, or do you not even have to nowadays? Just use your Facebook profile to push over there.
It can do that, or you can obviously set up an Instagram page if you want to as well.
Okay, so that's simple. I can literally do that tonight. And then, you know, set up a website. Hopefully there's some page builder that makes it very, very easy. I can set this up quickly. You know, signing up for a checkout, whatever. Stripe's awesome. I would probably use Stripe. Set that up and make sure there's a delivery mechanism to get people the product, right? All of that sounds very simple in next 1 hour process, really, maybe 2 hours. The harder part then is running the ads, right? And so like Kat mentioned on the pod, messaging is the real key here, right? And so as someone who's ran ads for information products more heavily than I have, for sure, what is your tips on messaging there? Am I doing the ADA framework? Am I just simply stabbing a knife in the pain that somebody has? Am I coming at it differently because they're boomers and they want their handheld? Like, how are you testing your messaging? How are you coming after this? And you know, is it an LLM thing at this point? Am I going to Claude, to ChatGPT, to Gemini and saying, here's the problem I solve. Help me, you know, here's the person I serve. Help me write, you know, 50 different hooks that I can test today on Facebook ads.
I mean, I think the easiest way to get to it is going at the problem that you solve, right? So like when I've sold low ticket information products in the past, they've been about solving a particular problem very quickly, right? And the quicker you help somebody solve the problem, the higher your conversion rate's going to be on this stuff as well. So like saying, oh, here's this thing and in 2 months you'll be able to do this. That's a harder sell than like, read this thing and in 10 minutes you'll be able to do X. So if you know that the thing that you're selling, I mean, if you're selling something that doesn't solve a problem, I mean, you're probably a little bit up shit creek anyway. But like, if you know the problem or problems that your thing solves, then I would probably just lead with that. But I would keep it super simple. Like, don't overthink it. Your ad doesn't, at least not in the beginning, doesn't need to be some War and Peace story and thing and push and pull and all of this sort of stuff. It just needs to be, hey, do you want to know how to do blah? Great, I can show you with this. It's $9. It's $17. Like whatever. Like start simple and focus on the problem that you solve and try and get your ad in front of people who are likely to be feeling that problem.
All right, so here's what throws me off a little bit, John. By the way, if you're just listening to this, go to Google, search Facebook ad library, and then you can literally look at anyone's ads. So when we recorded with Kat, she had 50 some ads going. Right now she has 39 ads going. By the way, all we do is talk about her, and our employees, like, I see their ads every. I didn't go to their website yet, and their ads are everywhere. They're getting good, by the way. Who's ever retargeting us is getting real good just listening to us talk. And so, but if you go look at all this stuff, the messaging is all over the place here. Some of it's not. Some of it's very direct, but some of it's all over the place. So I don't know if you've been seeing her ads, if she's targeting Australia or not. I see every other feed, every other post in my news feed is her ads, and they're all over the place. So I've been trying to, like, learn from her while also trying to imagine what I would say to, you know, the Bitcoin people out there that I'm trying to, like, part of me wants to go after the fear angle, if you will, right? So one of the main reasons you should get your coins off an exchange is because they're not your coins. They're not your keys, not your coins is a phrase in the Bitcoin community, right? And so FTX, this big exchange, Sam Bankman-Fried was all over the place. He was putting money in senators' pockets and different pockets of Congress members. Effective altruism, he's going to change the world, right? And then turns out he was a shady fucker who was borrowing money from one side of his business and using it over in the other side of the business and lost it all. Nobody had the Bitcoin left. So everyone who had their coins on there, gone. Same with Mountain Gox. Way back in the day, anyone who had their coins on there, gone. And so that's the real lesson here. I want to lead with fear of, like, at least that's the messaging I want to start with, is like, if you don't have it, like, it's literally gone. Like, it's just going to be gone. This is why you need to do it. And in 10 minutes or less, I'll help. You know what I mean? Like, kind of mixing our two things. I don't know whether to lead with the fear and then come with the solution, you know, really drive the pain point home, and or, you know, lead with more of a friendly angle of, like, you know, I'll be the kid down the street who can help you with your computer kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, lead more on that angle of, like, these confused boomers who want to invest in this. They just have no idea how to do this. I'm not sure. Maybe I should try all of those.
You should. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know this from marketing 101. Marketing is all a test. Like, all marketing, it's just a test. Like, what lines are gonna hit better for people? What ad creative is going to work better? What image? What, you know, what style of post? You know, do you have a carousel post with 5 cards and each card works through a step of the process, or is it just one? You have to test it all. And pretty much every funnel doesn't work in the beginning very well, right? So you've got to launch it. You've got to get it launched. And then you've got to work backwards and optimize it. So yeah, maybe your ads suck in the beginning, but the page performs pretty well. Or maybe your ads perform well. You get people onto the page, feels like they're the right people, and something on the page isn't progressing people to the next step, and you have to work on that. So once again, I wouldn't overthink it. You've got some great ideas there. For her examples you just had up on the screen there, I mean, for her, this is like promoting a business opportunity, right? So she's promoting it to people who want to make money online. A little bit different to you. You're identifying that there's a problem that you can help people solve, you know, so that they don't get hacked or whatever on an exchange or something like that. And so there's fear. There's more fear. I mean, you could sell a biz up from fear, but most people will probably go to the pleasure place. Like, you want, so hers are like, you Stripe notifications while you sleep from a $17 product, right? Hey, that sounds good. Yeah, I want that. I want that. There's no, that's not fear, right? But you could come at and say, well, you're going to be stuck in your dead end job for the next 40 years unless you work out how to get Stripe notifications in your sleep for $17. I mean, you could do that, but most people don't do that because it's kind of, you know, maybe it's a little bit too obvious. I don't know. But like, it's a bit easier for you to play on the fear thing, I think, with the Bitcoin stuff. Like, you don't want to get hacked. That would be really shit. You can solve it really easily by doing blah, 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 and I'll show you how to do it right here. Do you know what I mean? So you could do that, or you could come at it from the thing of a different angle of, like, want to sleep easy knowing that your Bitcoin's protected. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Here's how you do it. But like, I would test it all initially. You can test ads on Facebook for like $5 a day. You can test a lot of different variations. So test them. And if you find one that's working well, then you start ramping up the budget on that one. Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science. which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
You've calmed one fear of me of, I don't know what to do. Clearly, this is what I should do. Hit me with one other fear, right? So Bitcoin's down bad right now, right? I've been through quite a few cycles. They suck, John. They're brutal, right? When you watch your net worth go down by 50, 80%, it happens. Now, this is my third cycle in Bitcoin. I'm kind of chuckling right now. It's a great time to accumulate more Bitcoin. But I imagine anyone who has some Bitcoin and hasn't sold it already, because most people capitulate once the market is down 50% or 80, they're going to look at my ad and they're going to laugh their ass off. They'll be like, oh, you're still buying that fucking, it's dead again, right? Like every bear market, the coin is dead. Bitcoin's over. It was over at $100. It was over at $10,000. It was over at $100,000. It'll be over again at $1 million as well. And so right now it's over. Bitcoin's dead. And so there is a little bit of like, not, okay, now I know what to do. Can I handle the people, telling me to shut the fuck up again? Right. We get enough of those on our ads. Maybe we should just share some of those ads. All the shit I delete every fucking morning of like, hey, fat ass, you make more money selling courses than you do doing that e-commerce stuff. Or just, hey, it looks like you've had too many beers. Look at your nose. Or what do they call? They call me Fat Chipper Jones the other day, which is like a baseball player for the Braves. I laughed my ass off on that one, man.
Yeah. My comment to this was going to be, and you say that as a guy that sells a course and coaching program on drop shipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're worried about this. You shouldn't be.
Oh, the worst part is you've tested messaging, and the messaging that works is a short that I did that says, can dropshipping make you a millionaire? Yes, it can. And I'm proof. That's the fucking hook we roll with, right? So I'm the face of the fucking comments. You know what I mean? Like I'm taking the brunt of all this stuff. I demand you record the same video and put it out there so you can experience some of this hate. I just don't know if I could take it on two fronts, right? There's definitely going to be some hate there. But honestly, like the bigger thing for me was I genuinely didn't know what to do. And you described it pretty simply of like, if I don't have this done this weekend, I'm going to be pretty pissed at myself. Cause it's not, I can have a page done. I can have a website done and a processor connected in an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then I can go, hopefully get an ad account rocking and rolling. I don't know if there's any process there with Facebook or if they just fire you up nowadays. And I could probably have an ad created, probably 3 hours, a baseball game. I can probably have this done and an ad running. And like, I feel a lot better after walking through this with you.
Yeah. And look, I think the thing that probably you don't take into account with this is like getting the thing up and running probably isn't the largest time commitment here. It's the optimization and getting it selling, right? Like I said, like getting a brand new funnel for a brand new product up and running with ads that work, and it just starts converting at a break even or profitable rate straight out of the gate. Like that would actually be pretty rare. I know there's a lot of bros online that promote this stuff like it's that easy and you just go and do it. But like, if you speak to marketers that have actually sold a ton of stuff online, they'll tell you most funnels fail in the beginning. Like fail in the sense of they're not immediately profitable because you have to work stuff out. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe the messaging on your landing page is not right and you have to try a few variations on that. You have to try a different headline, blah, blah, blah. You have to, change up your video or whatever. Or maybe you don't get the right ads in the beginning and all of that sort of stuff. So I think there's a bit more to it, but like getting the thing up and running, I think you're right. I mean, I'm pretty sure you know all the things that you need to do. You're probably just a bit unsure about it, right? But you can do all the things that we just said for sure. That's within your capabilities. You know what I mean? And so you could definitely get it up and running fairly soon, but then there's going to be some work after that, I think, to actually see if it works or not. But yeah, I don't think you know in marketing that anytime you're talking about something that's controversial, you're probably going to do okay. Like that's usually a good sign, right? I mean, you look at the people out there that are making tons of money just on social media and stuff. Most of them are talking about something that's not that not everybody agrees with.
Yeah, polarizing. Yeah.
They're polarizing, right? And some of them are doing it intentionally. They're being intentionally polarizing and talking about things that they know are going to be polarizing just to make money. They don't even believe that shit half the time, but they know it's going to make money because some people hate it, some people love it. And so I think if you've got that, I wouldn't shy away from that and try and find something that people are just going to find non-offensive, or everybody's just going to be like, yeah, that's okay. Like, I mean, that's probably a weaker idea in some ways.
I'm willing to do some shit here. What's going to get you out of your, you know, you said it's a time thing for you, right? There's a lot of other shit going on. I think we should do that. We have to do some of the ideas on this show. That was the premise we had sitting in the office out here brainstorming this idea. And so, sure. You know, what is it that's going to get, you know, me to take action on shit I don't know, or you to find a little bit of time to get these up? Because we just said it's only a few hours, right? I think we can do this. You know, how can we challenge our community to challenge us, or how can we challenge each other to do something here that actually, you know, makes it happen? Because I want to fuck around and find out.
I mean, I don't know. I'm open to ideas.
Look, if you want to hop in the Low Bar community and come, you know, bust our ass to make us do this, I'm all for it. I'm going to put mine in there. Like I said, I'll encourage John to put his in there. I think we can learn from some of the other people that are in there. And look, I know for a fact my wife has a coffee date this weekend, so maybe that's the time I need to sit and just knock this stuff out in the morning while she's at that. I have one new PDF idea for you, John. I will tell you after this next section where we're going to talk about the podcast growth. So I want to touch back on, we did another episode. It was like the sixth or so show we did, called How We're Actually Going to Grow This Podcast. I want to talk about some of the stuff that we did in this. We did a little bit of a snake draft there of the things that we were going to do in that thing. I'd love to just touch on how, you know, some of those work, some of those didn't work. And like, I'd love to talk about a little bit of those for anybody who's listening to this, of like, you know, how do I grow my podcast, or listen to that episode and they're like, I wonder if any of that stuff worked. But I will hit you with a PDF idea at the end, I promise you, if you stick around. So the first thing I committed to was steal their audience. So run YouTube ads in front of podcasts our audience would also like. I did this as well as there was another one where I basically just ran ads in feed. So you can target a keyword and you can say, anybody who searched this keyword on Google, I want my YouTube video to show up in their feed. You can also target other channels. I did this and it worked. If I'm honest with you, when it worked incredibly well, like incredibly well. But the majority of the time, Google would run it for a little bit and then flag us for God knows what, right? Sometimes it would say the video's not there, which obviously is not the case. Other times it would see say we're making claims, or shocking content was one that we got quite often. We got flagged and couldn't run our ads for more often than I would have liked doing this. And so, do I think this method works? Absolutely. We were getting clicks for as little as 1 cent. Does anyone stick around and watch 100% of the video? No one does anyway. If I'm honest with you, that's actually a really hard thing to acquire, but you could see how many people watch 25%, how many watch 50. And shockingly, at least shocking to me, John, we had way more success with females than we did with males here.
Interesting.
So I like that. I know you tried to boost some too, right? You mentioned that you went through the YouTube interface and boosted rather than going through Google Ads.
No, that was on our other channel.
It was on the other business. Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was on our other business channel. And once again, that was a similar thing. I had one that was fine and it ran well. And it was like, I was just testing something. It wasn't even the ideal video to be putting out there. It was like a more advanced video, but it still did well and pulled in some decent numbers and some outcomes there. And then I went and tried to do it with some other videos that I thought would be better and, you know, more aimed at the ideal kind of customer for that business, if you like. And Facebook, Google was just like, nah, you can't run any of these as ads. They're all like, you know, anytime you talk about, you know, obviously on that other one, we're talking about a particular business method and all that sort of thing. And yeah, Google's really... super picky about what you can and can't say in an ad around that sort of stuff, I think.
I mean, that left me disappointed because, look, yeah. If we go back, episode one, we talk about selling camel meat. So that was shocking content. We couldn't run ads to it. I think some of our earliest episodes are some of my favorite that we have, if I'm honest. The second episode on Casino King gambling $100 a day, that might be my favorite episode we have to this day. And couldn't run ads to it. Again, it was shocking content or making claims. And it was just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, these are decent episodes. No matter what I changed the title to or anything, we kept getting flagged. So some of those didn't work. The ones that did work, they popped off, right? Specifically, how do we actually grow this podcast? That was pretty simple, to go target keywords of like, how do I grow a podcast? How do I get more views? Phrases like that I targeted on Google. And we were getting people clicking to watch our video. No, how much they watch, that's a different story. But people clicking to watch our video for 1 cent on that. And so we got tens of thousands of views on that video for 1 cent a piece. Other videos started to work. The Gary V one got a lot of Gary V type clicks and actually had a few more views than the rest. Others like Carla, when she came on here, I thought her business opportunity was fantastic, writing romance novels on Amazon. Again, it said making claims, that we were making claims. And it was just like, no, we're not making any claims. Just like that you can start a business, that's making a claim. So it's very frustrating of what worked and what didn't work there. But I would say this is absolutely viable. I do have a note in my notes to sit down and find, you know, try some new other podcasts for this because it was so cheap. I just don't know how sticky it is. Even the people who stayed and watched the whole thing, I'm not sure there's a way to track subscribers in Google Ads. If there is, I don't know how to put that conversion metric in there. I just put in the, you know, what did they watch? 25, 50, 75, 100. I'm sure you could put it in there. I didn't put it in there to see if we got subscribers. I don't know how sticky any of those things were, if I'm honest with you. But for anyone who wants to like run ads to their podcast, that's the way I would do it, because it definitely worked. Or even running ads to YouTube videos, that's the way I would do it, I think. The other one that we said we would do is controversial clip factory. So I saved some I looked through our shorts. And I would say we've had a couple that did okay, nowhere near what some of our shows have done. But none of the shorts really popped off in a way that I thought would be what we expected to happen here. We've said some controversial shit on this show. Our shorts guy, Ohm, has definitely clipped some of those out of there. None of them went on. I thought something would, you know, spark someone's, anger, whatever it is, like get them to say something, comment, get something to go viral. And I would say it hasn't been a bust because we've had some good shorts, but none of them have been like crazy either.
Definitely. I agree. They're pretty consistent.
We also said listener bounty that we would pay some people to get us on big bookings, viral clips. We kind of mentioned it in the show. Not something we actively did. Audience referral program, we kind of mentioned in the show. I don't know. You want to talk about some of the stuff that you mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, I did give that a go. And I was planning on using, at the time, Sparkloop, which is the tool that like Morning Brew and The Hustle, I think, used, or some of the big ones use. And they wouldn't let us use it initially. They said you have to be running your newsletter for a certain amount of time and have evidence that you've sent it out enough times before you can use our tool to build an audience referral program. So to me, that's fine. We'll use it at some point. But we weren't able to instantly start using it at that point. I guess it makes sense. And so the account to do that's kind of set up and it's there. It's just we're not using it yet. We'll come back to that one, I think, when it makes sense for sure.
Some other stuff we said we would do on there, an arbitrage challenge. I don't know if we've challenged each other, but I have been posting stuff in our low bar community. I did a flip with my stepson. I flipped some Gary V cards that was not a good flip, right? So I posted one that was a good flip, one that's not a bad flip. I'd like to do that every week. I've been calling it the flip of the week. I need to be better at like going to Goodwill or finding something to flip. I think there's plenty of stuff in my house I'd like to flip, if I'm honest with you, but I don't mind doing that. It's actually kind of fun to flip stuff, and man, it's everywhere. They're literally everywhere. I can't go somewhere without seeing something where it's like, oh, I could sell that for more. And so, it's spring is almost here, I think, hopefully, and then it'll be garage sale season around here, and I have no issue going to garage sales and flipping some stuff from there. So I'm looking forward to flipping more, but we haven't done the challenge, right? So we said we would consider doing an arbitrage challenge. I'll mark that as like sort of. The other thing we mentioned was YouTube collaboration. So we actually tested this. So basically, if you're running a YouTube video and you have a guest on who also has a YouTube channel, you can collaborate together. And so YouTube will show that to both audiences. And so I would say that has been a huge success for us. Every time that we have done a collaboration, it seems to go really well. We've had a few guests who, whether knowingly or unknowingly, have absolutely ignored our request to collaborate, despite numerous emails. Carla, I don't know who that could be, but like the ones who have said yes have worked really freaking well. And the ones who have said no, just like, you know, it was relatively a normal podcast. So, looking back, I would say Shannon was a huge hit out of the gates. That's the first time that we tried it. I'm trying to look through some others that we did here. We did with Kayvon's team. We tried to get Carla. She didn't respond to that one. We did with Shannon again, which also went well. We did it with Mr. Side Hustle himself, Nick Loper. That went really well. I think we're going to do some. We've already recorded some episodes that are not. Oh, they're probably out by now, but not as we're recording this. They haven't come out yet, so I'm not sure how they'll perform with Mindy and with Kat. And so, like, I assume those will do well as well. And so that has been a huge hit. That makes me want to get more guests on. So if you guys have guest ideas, let us know, especially if they have, you know, some sort of audience. Like borrowing someone else's audience is clearly helping us grow.
Yeah, and I think the one of the bits, well, they obviously work well for views, but my observation of those would be they work really well for growing subscribers as well. You know, some of those collaborations that popped off, yes, we got a lot of views out of it, but also the percentage of subscribers to views, I thought, was noticeably higher, which kind of makes sense, right? I mean, you're hitting people with something they're already interested in. You're talking about something they're already interested in. And so it makes your channel sound like something they're also interested in. And it's coming from someone they've already subscribed to, and so it's it makes sense to me, and that's a big boost. Like, I think with YouTube, getting views is not that hard. There's lots of ways you can get views, but I find getting subscribers sometimes is a little bit harder with some methods that you could get views from, and I think that's a sign that, you know, it's a stronger signal that people actually like what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? If they're like, I'm going to stick around for these guys. You know what I mean? And so I would say the collaborator thing is probably one of our biggest wins here for sure.
A few other things that we didn't get to: micro influencer remix outreach, didn't get to it. Reddit core organic posting, didn't get to it. And then my favorite, fuck it, we'll do it live. We did not do a live-a-thon, if you will, of me working and John working and just us answering stuff. I'm not opposed to that one in the future. I'm just not sure that we are there yet. So I think it's pretty obvious the biggest win was collaboration. But I'd probably put the ads back there too. Like, I actually was pretty impressed with what the ads were able to do. I just think we haven't had time to refine them, nor do we know somebody at Google who can stop getting us, you know, getting our ads denied constantly.
Totally. But like, you know, I think, where are we? Since we did that episode, like we did that episode somewhere near the start. I mean, how long have we been going here? At the time of recording this, I think we're 4 months? We 4 months?
Yes, or recording this, we're like 4 months from the PDF episode and like, you know, 3 months from the Grow Your Podcast. And by the time it comes out, it'll be this will come out about a month from now.
Yeah. So I put our stats in terms of views and subscribers in the time that we've been doing this. So just like we're talking about how are we going growing this podcast. I looked at it from the YouTube perspective so far. I haven't pulled any podcast numbers yet into that. I know you probably look at those a little bit more than me. I mostly look at the YouTube stuff. But, you know, I mean, we're at about 1,200 subscribers on YouTube, 145,000 views, and about 10,000 watch hours. So I put that into chat and asked, like, for a channel that's 4 months old, roughly, like, how does that stack up? And it says, you know, like, once again, compared to average and all of that sort of thing, obviously this is not like some viral channel that's like scaling to the moon already, which I think is a fairly unrealistic expectation. But it says on all of those things, that's actually strong growth.
So, you know what's funny is I was literally doing the same thing on my other screen here, that we're both going in there to ask this question. So I asked, what's the average time to get monetized, right? That's 1,000 subscribers. You need some watch time in there too. I can't remember how many that is, but you do need quite a bit of watch time as well.
Yeah, it's 4,000 watch hours or 10 million on shorts.
If chat told you it's not fair, but how long do you think it takes? On average, so this one gave me two answers. On average, it takes blank, and the majority of YouTubers take blank to become monetized. What's the average and what is the majority?
I think one of the answers to that is 12 months.
So this says the average takes 15 and a half months to reach 1,000 subscribers, according to vidIQ, which I use vidIQ. I like that a lot. And then the majority of YouTubers take 6 months to 2 years to become monetized.
I dug in a little bit to the watch time versus views as well. And the feedback on that was that our content likely has decent retention. Like, that would be judged as like decent retention, as in of the views we get, people are sticking around for a good amount of time, you know, which makes sense, I guess. Some of our episodes are a bit longer. You know, we're not doing a lot of super short videos here. You know, I guess we're generally coming in at around 45 minutes probably for our podcast episodes. We're obviously got shorts out there as well, but like, you know, I think it might be easier to get people sticking around and bump up those watch hours with longer videos rather than if we were just doing, you know, five-minute videos. But I liked some of those numbers as well.
Well, shortly here on our schedule is literally a big bar that says, hey, well, one, since we recorded that, we went from two a week to one a week, right? Two a week, if I'm dead honest with you, John talked about his time earlier. Fuck, it was taking a lot of my mental ability to put two together a week. I think we could go back there. We're supposed to readdress that in a couple weeks. I think we just did it and we pushed it out again. So we're quarterly addressing, should we do one a week or two a week? And then in a few weeks, I have on here in our release schedule, the 6 month mark. Is this energizing us? Is it creating leverage? Is it pointing us towards something bigger? I think the numbers tell a story of it is, right? We're way ahead of schedule on the numbers side of things, which is great. I'm still having fun, right? Which is our number one requirement. We literally stopped our other podcast because it's like, fuck, we did 400 episodes saying the same thing. This is getting old. I'm getting tired of doing this. And then, you know, the one thing I haven't seen yet is the leverage, right? And I think it's way too early to judge the leverage personally. But I want to see some leverage come out of this. Like, is there opportunities to get guests on we wouldn't normally get? Is there opportunities for business deals? Is the community growing at a pace that we're happy with? Do we see a path to this being what we hope it to be, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now? In the meantime, I don't mind shooting the shit with my buddy John, talking business opportunities. That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, at this point, on those first two questions, like you know, just the basic questions, is it fun? Do you have a good time doing it? Does it interest you? All of that sort of thing. I think definitely a yes for me. I'd love to dig into some of those other questions a bit more, like what does the pathway forward look like? Obviously, like, you know, how much content do we put out here? Do we keep it the same? Do we change that? Is there anything that tells us we should do one of those things? I mean, those are good questions. So maybe we'll report back here after we've thought about that some more. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see where we go from here.
All right. As promised, I got one more idea for you to throw you at the end here, John. I received a Ninja Creamy for my birthday. Do you know what a Ninja Creamy is?
Yeah, you make ice cream with it, don't you?
Yeah, so I didn't know what one was. My wife was like, you should get this. By the way, fun fact, I get it for my birthday. She unpacks it and makes ice cream for the kids before I even had a chance to use my own ice cream machine. Thanks a lot, honey. Appreciate that. Anyway, so I've been using it a lot, if I'm honest with you. I found some really good recipes online to make protein ice cream. Like, I enjoy it quite a bit. I have some Oreo protein ice cream at home that I'm going to eat right after we get done podcasting here. I'm a big, big fan. I'm a big fan of what it creates. So long as you can get a good recipe on this, I think it is a wonderful way to utilize, you know, getting protein in you and getting a good 500 calorie thing of ice cream with, you know, 100 grams of protein is pretty awesome. By the way, side note, you left a shit ton of protein powder here and my children have been loving it. We've been making protein recipes for them too. So we take a packet of Jell-O. We take a cup of Greek yogurt and one scoop of your protein powder. We mix it with the Greek yogurt and then we put it in with the Jell-O and it turns into this wonderful, delicious, like almost pudding, like, if you will, you know, spray a little whipped cream on the top for the kiddos and they think it's awesome and they're getting their protein. And now Quinn's been eating it for breakfast, just the Greek yogurt and the protein powder that you left here. I don't know. They're big, big fans of the one you left here.
Man, you know what I do when I'm trying to put on weight and muscle and I never eat enough. So like every night, bowl of Greek yogurt with protein powder in it. I chuck it in the freezer. Same thing that Quinn's eating for breakfast. I chuck it in the freezer and let it freeze and then I eat it. That's my, like, yeah, I don't know, 100, close to 100 grams of protein in there for sure.
She loves frozen, like literally eating frozen wild blueberries too. So that would probably be
right. Yeah, frozen, you put some berries in it. Yeah, freeze them up. That's nice for sure. Yeah, I do that sometimes too if I need a bit of extra carbs in there. But yep, happy days.
All right, back to the creamy. So I'm making it. I'm not using your protein powder for that. I am using a different one, which I'll get into here. But I immediately was like, all right, I'm looking for this. This is popular. I cannot scroll my social media feed without every third video being, look what I made in my Ninja Cream. So it's very, very popular. I'm aware of that. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go do what I do. I'm going to look, search volume. Curious, if you're not already looking at the sheet, how much volume do you think Ninja Creamy Recipes has per month?
Oh, probably a lot. I've looked at other recipe stuff for other things, and I'm sure it's a lot.
74,000 searches a month for Ninja Creamy Recipes. And then, of course, you know, I start doing the, you know, just hit the space bar and hit the letter A, space bar, letter B, as I teach in the course. There's long tails for this, right? Protein recipes, keto recipes, healthy recipes, vegan recipes, dairy-free ice cream. Another few thousand searches for each one of these. So people who bought this $200 machine are actively looking for, how do they use it? How do they make ice cream? They're all saving stuff on social media. If you search for that shit right now, you get food blogs. I'm sure everyone knows what a food blog looks like nowadays. They are absolutely brutal. That is not where I want to go get my information. So there is no, I didn't find any Ultimate Ninja Creamy Protein Recipe book. I didn't find a Ninja Creamy Keto Bible. The demand is there clearly, and I don't think the product exists yet. And I was like, oh, maybe this is the problem to solve with the ebook or the little digital courses, as Kat was saying. Perhaps this is the angle to take instead of the Bitcoin. As I mentioned, I feel like the timing's a little bit down on the Bitcoin. I do think it could work, but I think Ninja Creamy could actually work here just from the fact that the recipes are free. I don't have to do any work here. They're everywhere, right? There's no copyright information on recipes. There is a very specific type of protein powder that I use. I use egg white protein because of the calories are so much lower. And you could affiliate market this company. In fact, I just ordered some more last night because we ran out, and they immediately sent me an email. Come join our affiliate program. We'll give you 25% for life. And so I think there's an opportunity to affiliate them or affiliate someone else, if I'm honest with you. And I actually use this product. Like, I literally eat ice cream probably 3 to 4 times a week as I've been on this long weight loss journey here. And I love it. I could eat this stuff every single day. It sounds like, you know, you make your layman's version by throwing it in the freezer, right? Like, I think you'd have fun with this product too. And so maybe this is the one that I work on this weekend and actually get out there. This one feels like it has legs for me.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do it.
I thought you'd have a better answer than that. Jeez.
Well, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends how far you want to go into it, I suppose. Like, so once again, you're pulling out some search volume there. Like, how are you going to hit that search volume? Or is this still a social media thing for you?
Yeah, I assume you're going to run Facebook ads the same way, right? Now, could you set up landing pages that have an opportunity to rank? Sure. But I do think, you know, I think you're setting up a lot of the people I've seen that have been doing, you know, cookbooks like this. They'll put out recipes from their cookbook. And so if you have 50 ice cream recipes, just make all 50, and that's 50 days of content, right? And like, people are going to save those, sure, but each one is a marketing piece for them to go buy the book, right? Or buy the little course. I think you could make a little course out of this too. So you're actually showing some people what you're doing there. You're not just giving them a PDF, but I think this one has legs. It made me think of a story. I think before you and I got together, it could be right around the same time, I was consulting for a company called Astroflave. And so they had protein powders. They had these huge tubs, like the one you left here, huge tubs of protein powder. And they were well known for flavorful protein powders. And they had, you know, amazing flavors like Oreo and peanut butter cup and all that stuff. And I remember them saying that protein powders were hard, like really, really hard. And this was before the, you know, protein forward craze. I would say we're absolutely in a craze right now. You can't go to the grocery store without seeing protein pancakes or somebody on social media telling you how to get more protein, or just that's the thing that people are talking about currently, right? And so I don't think those people are buying the big bin, right? You left this huge bin of protein there. I don't think those are the same people. They're not the ones who are buying protein, you know, let's call them what they are, protein candy bars at the store. They want to buy something a little more niche. So he told me it was really hard to sell these big bins. You had to place these massive orders, and the margins sucked on those giant bins. That's the word that he gave me. And so when I started buying the proteins for this, I'm buying these little bags. Like, they're decent sized bags, but they're not the huge bin. They're egg white protein, as I mentioned. You can choose your sweetener. So one of them is sucralose. I don't do sucralose at all. It doesn't do me. Monk fruit, which my wife doesn't, monk fruit doesn't treat her very well. And then stevia, which I think is where we landed on for these things. So I like this company. I choose stevia. But they're selling the same flavors that Astroflave did, but they're selling it in a much smaller pouch, a different form factor, and they're addressing a completely different market, right? He's addressing the gym bros with these big tubs, and they want to make their, you know, sucralose laden protein shakes. Not for me. And again, the margin sucked on that. I assume if you just cut that packaging down to a third, your pricing is way up compared to what it should be when you're in these bags, but you're really going after a niche audience here. And so I think there's room for many more companies, just like the one I purchased from last night, to pop up, sell these little sachets to the people on TikTok who are scrolling and seeing these recipes, or scrolling on Instagram or something like that, not selling to the gym bros, because I don't think that's your audience. But I'm going to say not only this, I think there's an audience for these little bags of protein that I just mentioned, but I think there's an audience, like there's a big audience looking for protein right now. And I think there's a lot of people targeting in a lot of areas, but I bet we could do a whole show of just like, why isn't there protein this or protein this or protein that?
Yeah, I bet we could. I bet we could for sure.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.